Good afternoon. We're ready to start here. We're going to start in Acts 9, verse 6. So if you are able to get your physical Bible, your paper Bible, and open it, that'll help. Nathaniel is going to post the verses for us, but when you learn connections between verses and you learn cross-references and contrasts, you can mark them in your Bible, but you can't mark them on the screen and have them last. So I recommend and suggest that you get your paper Bible and be ready to mark down these cross-references, these connections that you can make in the Scripture and understand it better. Of course, without the Spirit in your life, the Holy Spirit, you can't understand it. It's spiritually discerned, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, around verse 13, 14, somewhere in there. We need to have the Holy Spirit. We need to have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ, into the body of Christ. And that's not a physical thing that happens. It's something that God does to you. He does it the instant you believe that Christ died for your sins to save you, and that it saves you. So let's go on with Acts 9:6. Now the Bible teaches, it indicates when Paul's gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks began and when it ended. We can find those places in the Bible. The beginning of Paul's gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks was in Acts 9 verse 6. And we'll see some supporting verses that show that indicate why that's the beginning. But first let's read it. And he, this is talking about Saul of Tarsus, who we know as by his Greek name of Paul, he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And, you know, it probably didn't sound like that. If he's trembling and astonished, there was some exclamation in his voice. But he says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city." He was on his way to Damascus, almost made it there, and saw the light, the light of Jesus Christ, brighter than the noonday sun, and hit the ground. And here the Lord tells him, "Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." So let's look and see some of what happened and what the Bible says about this incident. Look in 1 Corinthians 15:3. Paul, writing back to Corinth later on, still going to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and he says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." So what he received, instead of being struck dead, he received life there on the road to Damascus when he saw the Lord Jesus. And he figured it out, or had it inspired to him or something. He eventually, not necessarily right away, but he eventually knew that Christ had died for his sins, as he says here in this verse. That's the reason he wasn't struck dead, because Christ died for him when he died on the cross in 33 AD, a year earlier. And so it says, "For I delivered unto you," Paul saying to these Corinthians, "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." Well, if you look in Romans 1, verse 16, we find out that's what is called the gospel of Christ. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." Well, that's how Paul was saved, by the power of God unto salvation. So that incident there where he trusted in Christ to have died for his sins, that was the first use of the gospel of Christ. That was the beginning of a new pattern. It's called a pattern later in Scripture. But that was the beginning of it. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there's two qualifiers there. It's you have to believe it. It doesn't save people that don't believe it. And the second thing is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And it was during those first, I don't remember the exact number, 10 or 20 years that it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I can find it an approximate number going by Usher's fine estimates on the dates that are in the in some of the Bibles. My Bible has the dates in it. They're not inspired. Only the text is inspired of the King James Bible. But those dates do help us figure, and it's around between 10 and 20 years after he was sent, first of all, to the Jew and to the Greek. It was about 10 or 20 years later that he was sent to all people. And that was our door of opportunity to hear and believe the gospel. It was started to be preached to people like us, in other words. So, the ending, that's the beginning of Paul's Gospel of Christ. The ending of Paul's Gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek was when God sent that same saving message beyond the Jews and the Greeks to all people. And we can find when that happened. First of all, let's see what Christ said to Paul in Acts 22. We don't have to go there. Well, we'll go to verse 21, but in verses 17 through 21, it says that Christ had informed Paul that in the future he would be sending him to all men. Now, here in Acts 22, those verses 17 to 21, that's just Paul recounting what happened earlier. It wasn't at that point when he heard that, when Paul was told that he would go to all men. He was told that, the best we can figure, unless there's extra trips to Jerusalem, you know, I don't think they had airplanes that they could have quickly taken a trip to Jerusalem without it being an extended period of time to get there by boat and recorded in the scripture. So we go by what's recorded in the scripture, and the only visit where he left quickly enough to fit the description there in verse 18 and verse 21, especially verse 18, Acts 22:18, was in Acts 18, chapter 18, verse 22. It's a very, very, very brief visit. Just three words takes up the whole visit. Saluted the church. And that's the end of the visit. He went downhill toward Damascus and to Antioch from there. He left immediately. And none of the other visits does he leave immediately after being in the temple. So that's when it happened in Acts 18:22 that this verse, he's reporting about it later on. He reports, and we'll read it here. that explanation, just give me a second here. I want to read one other verse before we get to what's posted there. The verse that came just a few verses earlier, in the same context, the Lord talking to Paul. Paul, in this vision in the temple, he saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. And none of the other visits but that one in Acts 18:22 does he get quickly out of Jerusalem. And yet he says that he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So it had to be in Acts 18:22. They're not going to receive your testimony concerning me, what I say. So, and that's what happened in this visit, in these verses here, Acts 22, verses 17 to 21. They didn't accept. He told them what that temple vision was about, and they started rioting and beating him in verse 22, and the soldiers had to come and rescue him. So, let's read verse 21 at the end of that statement from Christ to Paul in the temple. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee. Now, before he had sent him to the Jew first and also to the Greek, according to Romans 1:16, he says, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now, he's not being, you know, repetitiously redundant. This is not because Paul disobeyed the heavenly vision. He didn't disobey it. This is a new sending, a further sending, far hence unto the Gentiles. But when did that future sending actually occur is what the question is. He wasn't sending him at that point, was he? He says, I will send thee. And to find that, let's look in Philippians 4:15. I've already done the groundwork here. We know where it is. Let's look at Philippians 4:15. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, there's a key phrase there. This is when the gospel began. It's not the gospel of Christ, because we know when that was. But this is the gospel of the grace of God sent to all men. He says, in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. And we can find when he departed from Macedonia in the scripture. We'll get there in a minute, though. When I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. This verse has another vital piece of information in it that I'll just mention briefly, but it definitely refutes Acts 28-ism. Because look what it says. You Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, well, when he was in Macedonia, in the beginning of the, but before he departed from there, was, you know, it was the dispensation of the gospel. It was before Acts 28. It was before, you know, when those people in that sect or cult, whatever you want to call it, I don't call it a cult, but that sect, when they claim that it was a different body of Christ. Well, the Bible says there's only one body. There is one body. But they claim it was a different body. Here he says, in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He addresses them in Philippians 1 as being the saints in Philippi, and talks about them later on as being the church. Well, right here in the verse, no church communicated with me, but ye only. So they're the church in Philippi. They, after Acts 28, when Philippians was written, are the same church, same body of Christ as before, as back in Acts 20 when he sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia. Let's look at that verse that tells when the beginning of the gospel was, when I departed from Macedonia. That's in... first, before we look there, just for a definition, look in Acts 16, verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. What we want to see here is that Philippi is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. So it would be like Baltimore, Maryland. You know, Baltimore is the chief city of Maryland. Well, Philippi, Macedonia. So you come down to Acts 20. That's right, Macedonia. Well, yeah, it is. It's in western Turkey. It's just north of Greece. Come down to Acts 20, verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi, and you can, you know, he's identified what Philippi is. It's in Macedonia. We sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, after the days of unleavened bread, and came to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And that is what Paul is talking about back there. If you look up 3 verses in the text, Philippians 4:15, you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that's when he departed from Macedonia, Acts 20, verse 6. That was the beginning of the gospel to all people. It was the end of the gospel to the Jew first, and only to the Jew first and to the Greek. I should say only sent to them. Anybody could have been saved by that gospel any time they heard it. From the time that Paul was saved till today, it's the same saving message. It's just that it was only sent. Paul was only commissioned to go to the Jew first and also to the Greek until this verse, until this time when he sailed away from Macedonia. We don't have the actual wording of the Holy Ghost telling Paul, okay, now you go to all people. Go far hence from here to those far-off Gentiles that were not in the covenants of promise, that never heard of Israel, didn't bless Israel. Go to them too and preach to them the gospel of God, that Jesus is the risen, resurrected Messiah, the Son of God, and that he died for your sins. Those are the two parts, the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ that saves. And there's several verses that have those two parts in them. One of them is not far from here, Acts 26:18, I think it is, has both parts in it. It says the first part, change your mind or repent about who Jesus is. And then it says, so that you may receive the inheritance and what the faith in Christ brings, you know, faith in the gospel of Christ. So chronologically now, thinking back, trying to filter out all the incidents that go between and just talking about the gospel, when it was given and things, in Acts 18, we'll skip the verses because it's Acts 18, Acts 20, and Acts 22. In Acts 18, Paul learned about Christ's future, Acts 20, sending of him to all men. So in Acts 18, he learned about it, that in Acts 20, he would be sent. He didn't know the date at that time, but we do now. So in Acts 18, Paul learned about Christ's future, Acts 20, sending of him to all men. And he told the Jews about it in Acts 22. So you've got the temple vision where Christ told him that he would send him in the future. Then that's in Acts 18. Then in Acts 20, he's sent. And then in Acts 22, he tells that whole story of hearing it in the vision and then being sent in Acts 22. And it results in the riot and the start of Paul's imprisonment, from which he's writing those prison epistles that have the extended information in it for all people, for all believers. So let's review when that actual sending that Christ told Paul about, when it was in Acts 18:22, in the temple vision, the actual, he told him about it in Acts 18:22. Let me help confuse you. Sorry about that. He told him about it in Acts 18:22 in the temple vision. But the actual sending, again, the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God being sent to all men, was when it was the beginning of the dispensation of the grace of God. There'll be people that'll tell you the dispensing of the grace of God began in Acts 9, but the Bible says that was a dispensing of the gospel. And the dispensing or dispensation of the grace of God began when it went to all men, not just to the Jews. And people wonder, why would God limit it just to the Jews? God just didn't change it yet. He was already changing the message, changing where people get saved to. Instead of being saved to the land after their resurrection, they're saved to heaven. Their spirit is in heaven. We're seated in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6 tells us that the moment we're saved, we're seated in heavenly places. So, reviewing Philippians 4:15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, and it turns out to be Philippi, Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So, in Acts 16:12, we find out that Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, hi Norm, good to see you. And a colony, Philippi is a chief part of Macedonia. Let me get it right here. From thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And then the clincher, the verse where that happened, Acts 20, verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, after the days of unleavened bread. And that's when something happened on that ship after they left the dock and before they got to their first stop, which was, wasn't it Troas? Yeah, there it is. Came to Troas in 5 days and stayed there 7 days. You know, if you look at it, April is the month when the Passover is. They're supposed to start counting their months from April, from Abib, I think it was called, and then its name was changed, I think, at one point. But Passover was to be on the 14th of April. The days of unleavened bread were a week following that, starting the 15th through the 21st of April. And they sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia after the days of unleavened bread. So that'd be April 22nd. And they came unto them to Troas in 5 days, the verse says. So 5 days from April 22nd would be April 22nd. They arrived in Troas, where we abode 7 days. So they left Troas again May 4th. The gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks in the dispensation of the gospel, it basically covers a period from Acts 9, verse 6, to its ending in Acts 20, verse 6. And it's not that it ended and those Jews and Greeks couldn't hear the gospel anymore. It's just that the sending of it. It wasn't limited to them. I mean, they could, like I said, anybody could hear the gospel and believe it. But Paul was commissioned to go to the Jew and the Greek, and later he was commissioned to go to the Jew and the Greek and the rest of us too. You know, so the Jews weren't excluded when he went to all people. They were part of that all people, though. So they didn't have the special treatment that would allow the remnant, according to the election of grace, to choose grace. It became abhorrent to them when they saw the multitudes of alien Gentiles, heathen, goyim, come into the body of Christ. And Paul had to write in Ephesians to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. They had to try and keep it. They were one body, even though they came from two separate cultures. Those Gentiles that came flooding in later, the alien Gentiles, as well as the Greek Gentiles that were in there earlier, imitating the Jews. Imitate isn't a good word, but blessing the Jews and believing their doctrine. So, the Bible indicates Paul's gospel of the grace of God began when, it indicates when it began and when it ended. You can see both for we've been talking about the gospel of Christ, and we're talking now about the gospel of the grace of God. It began, the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God on earth was when Christ sent Paul beyond his earlier sending, and that happened what we just discovered there in Acts 20, verse 6. The ending of the gospel of the grace of God on earth will be when Christ catches up the body of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1, verses 6 to 8 in 2 Thessalonians 2. Romans 11, verse 25. Let's look, though, at a verse that tells about the way things were after the gospel was being sent to all people. Look at Titus 2, verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Not just to the Jews and the Greeks. Not just to the Jews. But to all men. So the gospel of the grace of God is during the dispensing of the grace of God. The dispensation of the grace of God. And Paul thoroughly explained it in Ephesians chapter 3, especially the first 9 verses. Let's look at those, and we'll close soon here. But let's look at these verses first, these 9 verses. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, and something can be made there of who those Gentiles are. They're different than you Gentiles when he wrote to the Romans before he was sent to all people. You Gentiles in Rome would be you Gentiles that are in the synagogues, you Gentiles called Greeks, you Gentiles that are proselyting, becoming circumcised or have been circumcised to become part of, eventually become part of Israel. But here he's talking to you Gentiles like the ones at the in the last half of Acts 19 in Ephesus that were worshiping Diana, that didn't have anything to do with the synagogue or Jews. They were throwing stones at him. But he's addressing them now. He sent to them. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. By the time of Ephesians, he definitely was sent to all people. How that by revelation, he, God, made known unto me the mystery, or the secret, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, this is verses 4 through 6, when you read. Now, other places we're told to hear it, hear the preaching of the gospel. Here it says we can also benefit from reading the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Here it says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Mystery of Christ is a specific term there. Christ came originally when he walked the earth. He came to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He came to the Jews. That was before, actually, that was during the, you can see in Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6, Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6, that Jesus Christ sends the disciples there just to the Jews, not to the Gentiles, whether they're Greek Gentiles or not, not even to the Samaritans. When he's sending them out with the kingdom is for Israel, and it's not for those that bless Israel. Okay, that's a later, you know, the blessing was in Genesis 12. Later on, he promises them a kingdom in Exodus 19. And that was just to Israel. So, well, let's get back. I'm losing my train of thought here. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ. So Christ came to his own. He came to Israel. And he was crucified. He was buried. He rose from the dead. And he ascended back to heaven. All for fulfillment of or to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And then something happened. Messiah in heaven sent back word of a new way to be saved. A new pattern, it's called in Scripture. A pattern. In Paul first. And that secret that hadn't been told before was Messiah's secret. The mystery of Christ. Messiah is Christ. So that's what he's talking about there. The mystery of Christ. It involves, at first, it involves the first dispensation of the body of Christ. The dispensation of the gospel. Dispensing the gospel of Christ to those that had only heard the gospel of the kingdom before. And he didn't change that. The target audience was still Israel and those that blessed Israel. But later, as we have read in Acts 20, he widens it to all people, people like us. So it wasn't that he narrowed it down and restricted it to only Israel. It was always Israel. And when Paul heard the mystery of Christ and became a believer there on the road to Damascus, that was the mystery of Christ, but it involved the same people, Jews and Jew blessers. So that's the answer as to why it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It always had been up till then. It just hadn't been widened yet. God chose a later time for that other change, the change that would make it to all people. So let's read on further. We're here in, welcome to the room. We're in Ephesians 3, just read verse 4, going on, which in other, talking about my knowledge, Paul's knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Don't believe it when somebody says it was hidden in the Old Testament. It wasn't. It wouldn't have been a mystery or a secret if it was told, whether it was they understood it or not. It wasn't in the Old Testament. It was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed It's uncovered. It's shown unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And aren't you glad it wasn't just the apostles? It was the apostles and the prophets by the Spirit? Because if it was just made known to Paul and the other apostles, Timothy, Silas, Barnabas, it would have been a narrower... can't think of another word than neck. Like in an hourglass, you got the narrow spot there where everything has to come through. Well, it would only come through the apostles. But God didn't design it that way. God designed that the prophets would have all knowledge of all mysteries. 1 Corinthians 13:2. The prophets, the body of Christ, but not talking about Agabus or you know, Samuel, the prophets in the Old Testament, Israel's prophets. This is body of Christ prophets. Okay, thanks for coming in, Norm. This is body of Christ prophets. And the apostles, the prophets, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:37 that the prophet's job is to acknowledge when the words coming out of the apostle's mouth are inspired of God, the commandments of God. So we've got more verification of the Word of God, the new Word of God, newly revealed and written down. And it's done by the Spirit, as it says there, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. What same body? Same body as it existed in the Acts period. Not some different body. There's only one body. And that same body is what the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in. With those Gentiles that you hear of getting saved in Acts called Greeks. And here you've got alien Gentiles getting saved with them. And Paul having to tell them to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Thank you. Partakers of his promise in Christ. How do you get in? How do you get saved? By the gospel. The gospel, people say, no, you get saved by trusting Christ. Well, the gospel is to trust Christ. You're trusting that Christ died for your sins. He did the transaction. He took your sins on himself. The Bible says he was made your sin. And you are made his righteousness. And that's the gospel. Believe that it's true that Christ took your sins on himself. That's a personal thing that Christ did for you. You're trusting that he did that. So, what was the revealed mystery? Well, we just saw that the mystery is not about God's anointed king coming with his kingdom out of heaven to earth. This, you know, that's the gospel of the kingdom. That's not what this is about. This is the gospel or good news that Ephesians 3 verse 8 tells us. We believers in Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for our sins, were fellow heirs, we're of the same body, and we're partakers of his promise in Christ. And that promise is in Titus 1:2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And we should look at that so we don't get confused by people that tell us that that's Israel's promises. Israel gets Israel's promises. We get the promises that God made for us. And if you look at it, Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised. Promised before the world began. And so, private message, I'll get that to you in just a few minutes when we're done here. Or it's on the website if you want to go there and look at the bottom of the page. Picking up with verse 7 in Ephesians 3, 7 through 9, whereof I was made a minister. What's that? Whereof? Well, that goes back to partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. By the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. God did it, in other words. His power equals Ephesians 3 by the gospel, and it equals Romans 1:16, the power of God unto salvation. The gospel saves us. Whether it's the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or if it's the gospel to all people, it's still the gospel of the uncircumcision that saves people today. Okay? Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's not in the Old Testament. You can't search and search and search and finally find it. It's unsearchable, the riches of Christ. And from this epistle until the catching up, God's grace is to be preached among the Gentiles. That phrase, among the Gentiles, even includes the descendants of Jacob. And the descendants of Jacob today are considered as uncircumcision because they're disobeying what they were, who they were to believe. They're disobeying Moses' order there in I gave Deuteronomy 16:16 the other day, I think, but it's Deuteronomy 18:18. Deuteronomy 16:16 is another verse of importance, but Deuteronomy 18:18, where is that the one? No, I think that's the one. I better look that up before I lean on it. 18. You got it there. Okay. I will raise them up a prophet. That's it. That's Jesus Christ. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. They didn't believe that. They lacked the faith to believe. And they were considered, you know, considered uncircumcision. They were not the true circumcision that the little flock was. And going on. So that phrase, among the Gentiles, includes the descendants of Jacob today, while Israel is Lo-Ammi, not God's people. So, and to make all men see, continuing in Ephesians 3, make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Well, that's different than the mystery of Christ. The fellowship of the mystery is the joining together. You know, it's two fellows in a ship. It's the former inhabitants of the ship, of the body of Christ, those Jews and Greeks, Greek Gentiles, and the Gentiles that were alien that came in later. It's the fellowshipping of them in the body of Christ now. It's fellowship of the mystery. It's those Ephesians 3:6 fellow heirs, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Nobody knew about it. It was hidden. God can keep a secret. hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That we there is Paul and those ones in Acts that got saved, the early ones who first trusted in Christ. And then in whom ye also, that ye is you and me, ye also trusted after that you heard, you know, after you couldn't hear it until it was preached to you. And it started being preached to a people like us in Acts 20, verse 6, in whom you also heard in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed. Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And we can see the fellowship of the mystery again in as we just read there in Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13. Ephesians 1, 12 is a dispensation of the gospel to those in Acts. And Ephesians 1:13 is the dispensation of the grace of God to all people right through today and until the catching up. So Paul said in Ephesians 3:3, in few words, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. Well, that's it. The fellowship of the mystery that we can see there in Ephesians 1 is that the dispensation of the gospel, believers, in Ephesians 1:12, who first trusted, are in fellowship with the dispensation of the grace of God believers in Acts, in Ephesians 1:13, who believed when they finally heard the same saving message after Paul was sent to all men. So we can see from, and we're still getting ready to close here, we can see from those last two verses, Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13, that the content or message of the earlier gospel of Christ is the same as the content or message of the later gospel of the grace of God to us. However, these two gospels are sent to different audiences, so they've got a different name. The different dispensations. The gospel of Christ is during a dispensation of the gospel. And the gospel of the grace of God to us is during the dispensation of the grace of God. But the saving message was the same in both gospels. And you can see that as you read Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13. Read it through. They're both saved by the same gospel, early and late believers. So, according to these scriptures, Paul's sending with the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks in that dispensation of the gospel ended when he was sent with the gospel of the grace of God to all men in the dispensation of the grace of God, beginning in Acts 20, verse 6. Paul wrote epistles to those to whom he was sent to at any particular time, and the doctrine in those epistles was for those to whom Paul was sent at that particular time, at the time of his writing. Let's recognize the scriptural importance of the gospel of Christ in a dispensation of the gospel during Paul's sending and the writings to the Jews and the Greeks at that time, and not get confused thinking that those special instructions to the Jews and the Greeks to win the Jews over into the body of Christ, that those special instructions are for us to try and win Jews over when there's no Jews around today. They're all uncircumcision. They're lo ami. Those instructions are moot, those special instructions. The information in those early epistles about the body of Christ and about us and about salvation, that's all valid. It's everything in there is valid. It's just that there is no Jews for us to there's no weaker brother to try and keep from him being destroyed by exercising the liberty that believers in the gospel of Christ have. People aren't destroyed for things today. Once you're saved, you're sealed. But those Jewish believers meeting with them, and we'll get to that in a series I'm going to do in a few weeks about the mixed multitude coming into the body of Christ. But just be careful when you're reading the Acts epistles not to apply to yourself something that was only meant for the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogues and the Jews that were meeting with them, because they believed the gospel of Christ. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah and came out of the synagogue, or had to come out. John 9:22, the Jews had already agreed if anybody believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, they were kicked out of the synagogue. My own wording, obviously. But look it up. That's John 9:22. And I'm done for today, and that finishes the series on the Jews and the Greeks.